Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome. My name's Phil Minot and it's that time of the week again when we all get together.
Behind the Bike Shed on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, we get together to celebrate all things cycling. Coming up in this week's programme, we look at a new electric bike hire scheme happening in Tevesham and we speak to two of the principal councillors spearheading it all. More and more all over Cambridgeshire, small businesses are turning to their bicycles. We speak to a cycling florist from Milton who has decided to get onto her bike. And our guest on a bike this week, well, he's currently one of the only PhD students on a campus here in Cambridge, and so he's at Homerton College. And he also happens to be a member of last year's winning boat crew for Cambridge in last year's boat race. And he's also a member of University of Cambridge Cycling Club. Well, because of the dastardly COVID-19, we are having to keep ourselves socially distanced. But despite that, I'm delighted to say joining us later from their own bike shed will be the cycling florist Claire Cook, who is a founder of a new business in Cambridge, The Flower Project. And also, as I mentioned, our mystery guest on a bicycle. But first of all, we welcome Tevesham Parish Councillor Chris van der Waal and Graham Cohn, a South Cambridgeshire District Councillor, both of them were instrumental in setting up an exciting e-cycling scheme for Tevesham villagers. Chris, I understand that you're the person who applied for the grant in the first place.
Yes, I was quite excited by South Cam's initiative, the Zero Carbon Communities Grant. And I like cycling myself. I put two and two together and it made sense to me to apply for a scheme which would get residents on their bike, quite literally. It could be for a commute, could be for a shop, could be for a long distance cycle. And very happy to have received it.
So how often do you cycle yourself then? Is that a daily thing?
No, I'm one of those old men that likes to go out the weekend on a long cycle ride. So,
absolutely, nothing wrong with that. And I bet you look good in Lycra.
It won't go down there, thanks.
No. So, Graham, when you heard your colleague Chris from Tevesham was going to ask for money from South Cambridgeshire, did you think that was a shockingly bad way to spend taxpayers' money?
I didn't know, Phil. So, at South Cam's District Council, what we've done is gone out to local parish councils and local resident groups with a zero carbon grant. And we really want people to come forward with exciting projects like the one that Chris has come forward with to reduce carbon in their local villages. So I'm really pleased that Chris has come forward with a scheme that gets more people on the bikes and enables people that wouldn't normally cycle to get out of their cars and hop on an electric bike. And as you know, that a lot of people that cycle, do so because they want to get back and forth to work, get in and out of Cambridge. And I hope that this scheme will allow more people to, who sometimes people that couldn't necessarily ride a cycle bike, be able to do that. So more elderly people, disabled people, people that aren't as fit, maybe, can take advantage of this scheme to get to and from their work or go into the city. So I think it's a really good thing.
Chris, Tevesham's not that far from the city, really, is it? It's you're a butt to the to Cambridge, and I'm just wondering, do you really think having an electric bike will make that much difference to somebody who doesn't cycle already from Tevesham into Cambridge?
It undoubtedly will. I used to live in Bottisham, and coming into Cambridge is a good 5 or 6 miles. It doesn't sound long, but when the winds here, the fen blower, I believe you call it, does start up, it's difficult at least one way. Tevesham, yeah, maybe not so long for some people, but I dispute the fact that most people will be able to make that at ease. We have a company I used to work for that was looking to move into the centre of Cambridge, and the same issue arose there. People would have much more at ease with the concept of cycling to work if it was assisted, i.e. with an electric motor. And that's simply because it's hard work, a day's work. You're tired when you come out at 5 or 6 o'clock, you need to get back home. The last thing you want to do is have to push hard on a bike. So the motor kicks in and whizzes you home back to Tevesham. That's the idea.
Now, obviously, I'm playing devil's advocate because I think anyone gets anyone on a bicycle is great for all of us, whether you're a car driver or however you get to work. It, you know, the more people on bikes, the better it is for all of us. Explain how this system's going to work. First of all, the infrastructure. How's that going to be put installed? I don't know who wants to comment on that.
Well, I guess I can comment on that. We were approached by Cambridge Electric Transports. The way we do it here is that the council will pay for the bike lockers. Obviously, you need some secure lockage overnight for a bike. And then we hire the bikes from CET. And the idea was that the rate for the hire would be no more than a bus. So we're looking at around about £5 for 12 hours, £2.50 for 6 hours. That was to fit around a typical working day or a typical shop. And we believe that's competitive. The council grant was really important to bring that cost down because otherwise it would be more. Just as a plug, we're of course looking for employers in the future, some of the large companies in the science parks to continue that subsidy. So that's our task for this year coming.
Now, Graham, when you decided at South Cambridgeshire you were going to let your colleagues in Tevesham have some money, do you now feel that money could have been spent elsewhere, or do you feel there's even more need for cycle infrastructure?
So I think it's really good that, you know, villages come forward with projects that they know are going to work locally because they know their patches best. So I think the money has been well spent, and I think, you know, we'll reap the benefits of that quite quickly. So, I mean, as someone that cycles to work every day, you know, I know how important it is to feel comfortable on a bike with lots of traffic. I'm not a keen cyclist, I'm just a commuter. You know, I cycle to get to work effectively, but it's important to have, you know, the right infrastructure, cycle paths, solar stud lighting, and you know, sort of to feel safe whilst you're cycling. So I'm pleased that the government has announced a lot more money to put into cycling.
By the side, because you are a councillor and you do work, I hope it's okay to say, Adam Brooks Hospital. Cycle parking at Adam Brooks Hospital, if you're a visitor, is almost none impossible.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is a good example where councils and you know, MPs locally should be working with not just Adam Brooks, but science parks and businesses throughout Cambridge to get this money spent. So we've got more parking, so people don't have to spend 10 minutes looking for a bike parking space once they've cycled to work. So I think your point's valid. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I can just add there that the beauty of the CET system is that they will have cycle lockers distributed around the city in their vision anyway going forward. So you can imagine there might be some lockers at Adam Brooks, some at the stations, some in the villages. The villages particularly, I think, are an experiment in some ways to see if people are attracted from coming out of these suburban areas into the town. And they've got then the software model to predict the use of the bikes en masse, which I think is very clever, really. So maybe there'll be a solution to this bike parking using the system they have.
So whereabouts in Tevesham will I be able to pick a bicycle up from?
Right, well, there's four locations we try to distribute around Tevesham Parish Council. It's a strange parish in some ways because we've always got the old village in the middle. And we've put two lockers here, one by the social club and one out towards Fulbourne at Ferndale Estate. And then a lot of Tevesham actually exists at the North Cherry Hinton Estate, so above Fulbourne Drift, if you will. And we've put two lockers there on Elland Way. Well, I say have, we will be putting two lockers there on Elland Way. We just seem to have planning permission now granted, so all systems go.
What happens if I hire one of these bicycles? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to put you off a scheme, but I just keep thinking of these things. What happens if I hire one of your bicycles? And I got my lovely work suit on. I've never worn a suit in my life for work. Well, not that often anyway, but imagine I did. And I get a puncture.
Yeah, so...
So what happens? I get my suit dirty.
Well, hopefully if you get a puncture, you don't fall off your bike. So let's hope your suit stays reasonably clean, okay? Your bike comes to a halt for sure with a puncture. But here, the nice thing about CET is there will be someone on hand, I believe, from the hours of 8 or 6 or thereabouts to come and rescue you effectively. So they will either come to repair the puncture on site or replace the bike so they can complete your journey.
Now, for some people, this is going to be, you know, they're going to say, this is wonderful. I've always wanted to cycle, and I'm not sure, you know, if you want to buy your own electric bike, they don't start cheap. and they're thinking this is a great way for me to see if I really want to cycle again. First timer, will there be anybody on hand to say to them, this is how you do it? Will there be a contact point or someone to sort of give them confidence the first time they take a bike out?
Yeah, I suppose I've got two answers to that. First of all, fortunately, CET will run to the rescue again. If you're a first-time user and you're not confident on a bike or you're not too sure how the electrics work on it, they will be more than happy to show you that. The second thing is that had COVID not struck, we would have had on May the 9th a bike day, as it were, where we'd have had the whole community, I would have liked to have thought anyway, around, and we could have demonstrated the bikes along with others from various companies. So we would have had, for example, the CET bikes. You might have had representation from some other bike companies and some of the organisations around Cambridge. That day will happen. I just don't know quite when. But it's quite important because it raises the idea of people being able to cycle really more commonly, that it isn't a niche commuting sport or so on, that it's really, really there for everyone.
Now, I'm guessing because it's Cambridge, it's got to be high tech. Presumably it'll be some sort of app.
Yeah, there'll be an app. Yeah, you can book half an hour ahead. It also allows us to track people. Now, we've got to be very careful. What I mean is not to track them with any personal identity or anything like that. They're entirely anonymous. I have no idea who's on the bike when. But they will be allowing us to show what routes have been cycled. That's all. Yeah. Well, so GDPR will be entirely maintained.
I have to say, you've got an app which works, which at the moment is, you know, it's quite topical. It's probably a good start, isn't it? Good starting place to be. Councillor Graham, this part of the Zero Carbon Awards you've been promoting, can we expect another round of awards to be happening at some point this year?
We can, yeah. So it's going to be continuing, and I think we'll be looking at the projects that have taken it up this time to build on that, and we hope that parishes and local resident groups apply for it going forward. So hopefully this will be a success and there'll be more successes in the future.
I'm actually just reading through the notes I was given by your colleagues at South Cambridge here, and I see that there's actually quite a lot of money has gone towards cycling projects. You probably don't know because there's so many gone out there, but the Shepworth and Foxton community, their rail partnership's getting some money, and I'm guessing that will go towards storage bicycles, do you know?
And there's also some money gone to parish councils for them to buy their own bikes, cargo bikes and bikes to travel between the village and school. So I think, you know, that each individual village is sort of putting the money into where they think they'll get the most benefit from it. And as a district council, we need to try and get a good sort of, we need to stop people using as much carbon. So I think that's the, how we base that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Graham. The other parishes, I think, was Longstanton, Cottenham, Camborne, obviously North Stowey mentioned as well. So there's a lot of interest here. And I suspect CET can build on those relationships. And if this Tevisham pilot works, then they will do so.
And also I see that the community, Cambridge Co-Housing, which is in Orchard Park, which I think comes under South Cambridgeshire, doesn't it, part of that? That's been given some money as well, which I'm guessing is going to go something towards cycling because it's in the cycling column. And also Water Beach Cycle Campaign has been given money as well. So I know they've been really active lately, about obviously with the new development and stuff happening there. And I like this one, Fenditton Parish Council. They're going to have a drinking water fountain installed, which I think is fantastic if you're out cycling that way. Would you say that cycling is no longer a party political issue? By what I mean by that is, do you think, particularly in South Cambridgeshire, it seems to me it's almost, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but it's almost like a cross-party agreement that cycling is here to stay and we need to promote it?
Graham, I need to take that question.
I would agree with Phil there. I think there's lots of work that all the political parties are doing with regards to cycling. And it is something on the whole that we can agree on and, you know, work towards getting modal shift from cars to cycles. That's good for us all. It's good for air quality. It's good for your health. It's good for your well-being if you're not stuck in a car or a bus. You know, it's just, there's so many benefits there, I think, that can be tapped into. So I think that's a good, yeah, good thing that we all work together.
Have you worked out what the eco effect this will be on? By what I mean by that is, by having the electric bike as opposed to people driving, have you sort of worked out any figures on the difference that would make?
Yeah, we have worked out figures, and we put that, of course, in the grant application because it was quite important to offset the spend. You can convert the carbon for each journey that's saved by car, savings in transport and so on. But the overall clincher, in my opinion, has already been alluded to by Graham, is that when you consider the health benefits, which you really can't really calculate because we haven't got that sort of data to hand, but I would guess that's a really big draw for the council in general and the country as a whole. If these schemes are widened, I know Cambridge and Oxford and so on often seen as the forefront of cycling.
Thank you both very much, and good luck to the Tevesham electric bike scheme. Coming up next, we find out who our guest on a bicycle is this week.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's time to meet today's guest on a bike.
And our guest on a bike today is David Bow, who is a Cambridge Blue. He's a member of the University of Cambridge and he's currently studying for his PhD. He's a member of Homerton College. He has rowed for Cambridge in the Blue Boat, and he also, if that's not enough, is a member of the University of Cambridge Cycling Club. Apart from that, I don't think you do a lot while you're at university, do you, Dave?
It's mostly just napping and going to nightclubs, yes.
Yeah, yeah. If only that's the go, hey? Long gone are the days when you're allowed to join a university the boat crew, isn't it, and do nothing for the rest of the week. Now, you are a busy person and you're obviously a very sporting person, and you also have strong connections to Cambridgeshire, don't you?
I do, yes. So I originally am from Hinchingbrook School, so I spent my entire secondary school life and sixth form life at Hinchingbrook School, and before that I was at Godmanchester Primary.
Now, we're going to be talking about the cycling in just a moment, but before then, I'm sure people listening will be quite interested in the... Everyone always wants to hear about the rowing at Cambridge, don't they? And people who are part of the different teams. How difficult is it getting up in the winter to go out there on the ooze and start your training? Because you go out to Ely, don't they?
We do, yes. So the Cam... four and a bit K. It's quite a small, narrow river, but you've got 40 clubs on the Cam, so it's way, way too crowded to get any meaningful constructive work done on it. So we have to travel all the way out to Ely to do our own training, which we have the whole stretch to ourselves. It's fantastic out there.
Well, I'll tell you why you have a whole stretch to yourself, David, because I have been out there in my other job as a photographer, and I have been out with the crew in the winter, and I've been in like the support boat with the coach, and it started snowing, and I was thinking, why would anybody want to be out here on a winter's afternoon when they could be snug back in the college? Talking about college, of course, you are basically one of the only students, aren't you, on campus at the moment, Homerton?
Currently, yes. So for obvious reasons, the college is trying to discourage people staying on site, because the last thing they need is a coronavirus outbreak on campus. So where possible, they encouraged everybody to leave. But there's a few of us left on site who practically can't go home. So yeah, it's just me and a handful of people on a largely empty campus right now.
And is that does that make it hard to study? Because it can't feel normal, can it?
So at first, so lockdown's been going on, we're in what, week 13 now? It's been going on for ages. And at first I thought, this is great. I'm getting so much done. There's no distraction. friends. Nobody's knocking on my door saying, come on, let's go out for dinner or go do something social. And my productivity just skyrocketed. But now I'm kind of in such a consistent routine, I'm a little bit bored. And I think now I'm kind of struggling for motivation because of all the quiet. I need some fun.
How important is it for you to sort of get out and about on your bicycle? And I'm not thinking just about the times when you go out to top up your training miles, but just being on a bicycle when you're studying.
So I really enjoy getting out, getting some fresh air and breaking up the studying, because when you're expected to be studying a lot, that takes up a big proportion of your day. And structured high-level training, that also takes up a big proportion of your day. So to give you an example, when we're in the rowing team, we would be in the gym 6:15 in the morning. We'd be in lectures by 9 a.m., go through, study, do all our lectures until about 1 p.m., go back to Ely in the afternoon. That takes up about 4 or 5 hours. And then you've got some more studying in the evening. So every day can easily be a 14, 15-hour day. So just to get out on the bike and get some fresh air and just not have to think about anything too rigorous for a while, it's so good for keeping your sanity.
Yeah, and lots of people say that, particularly at current times, don't they? Now, just going to go back to the rowing for a second, because now when I looked at the University of Cambridge rowing crew team with yourself in the photo, you don't actually look that tall, but in reality, you are tall, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I like to think so. So all of the photos, I'm consistently the shortest guy. Rowing, top level rowers tend to be around about an average of about 6'6", 6'7". So at a lowly 6'2", I'm very much on the low end of a top level athlete. So yeah, I do get mocked a lot as they call me the dwarf of the crew, but I'm big compared to the average person.
I got to say, you tower over me for sure. Now, I just, when you're obviously rowing as a team, you very much have to be part of the team. You can't do your own thing. But obviously when you're cycling, I know you do a lot of time trialing, don't you? That's very individual. Do you prefer one from the other when it comes to being an individual or part of a team?
It really is massively opposite ends of the spectrum. And I went from rowing in a very team orientated, very structured training program to all of a sudden being cycling and managing my own training program, training whenever I like, doing a lot of my training on my own. It's such a huge difference. And if I had to kind of pick one, I really like the flexibility of cycling training, how you can have your own program, focus on your own weaknesses, train around your schedule. That's great. But I do miss being part of a team. I do miss having a group of 40 guys all like on the rowing machines in perfect time or 2 8s going side by side. I do miss the team element that rowing brings.
Now, I guess there's no rowing at all, really, is it, at the moment? Not certainly not using an 8. I guess there's a few people out sculling, maybe. I haven't seen any myself. So how has that affected your colleagues in the university crew? I mean, obviously, they're not racing this year, but presumably it must be quite hard for them to keep focused.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I spoke to a lot of the guys after this year's race was cancelled due to the coronavirus outbreak, and I felt terrible for them. When you work relentlessly for 9 months towards one very clear, very well-defined goal, and that's taken away from you at such short notice, I think it was about 1 week before the race was meant to happen, that must be devastating for them. So how do you keep motivated in these situations? Because you can't go out in a big crew boat. You can't get out in an 8 because you've got to be too close to people. You can't all go to the gym at the same time. So we've got that the club has to manage keeping people entertained. So what they've done is that the club filled up the truck, took all the gym equipment out of the rowing club and just distributed it to all the athletes' homes. So everybody has some weights at home. Everybody has a rowing machine at home. People can keep training. and we have our online leaderboard and spreadsheet where everybody logs their training and keeps things competitive.
So on the cycling front, I'd like to talk very briefly about the University of Cambridge Cycling Club, because, you know, everyone knows Cambridge and rowing, and they know about the Oxford and Cambridge clash once a year. But a lot of people wouldn't even know there's a cycling club at the University of Cambridge. And ironically, not only is one of the university's oldest clubs for sport, it's also one of the most successful currently.
Definitely. It's they got a 1-2-3 at the National Student Time Trial Championships last year, and they consistently win the gold, like the gold medal in this event. So this wasn't a fluke performance. They are a consistent, well-performing, excellent team. And yet, people don't really associate Cambridge University of Cycling. When you hear of Cambridge University Sport, you immediately go to the boat race because it's televised, because it's watched by hundreds of millions of people worldwide on TV. But we do have to note that, yeah, we have a fantastic cycling team here.
And you are part of that cycling team, aren't you, as such? And how many members are there currently in the club? Do you know?
So the club has a huge membership. One of the benefits of it is that people can be members of the club but still train on their own terms and do their own thing during the week. What I see is at 9 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays, we all meet at Brookside and we get into our fast group, medium group, low medium group. And we'll, you know, assuming nice weather, we'll easily get 50, 60 people coming down at weekends. And I think this is just a small fraction of the total membership. And that's a huge turnout for students on a Saturday morning. So yeah, it's a big, big club, much bigger than the rowing team in terms of total numbers.
And of course, some of your alumni, shall we say, of the club, they've done great things, haven't they? I mean, everyone must have heard of Emma Pooley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Emma Pooley was a world champion, I'll have to point that out. And she was a fantastic cyclist, and she was a great cyclist when she came to Cambridge. And by the time she left Cambridge, she was a world-class cyclist.
It just shows the pedigree that this club has. So I think that the depth is what kind of spurs people on in this club. That Cambridge, like on both the men's and the women's side, we've got nationally competitive people. If you've got multiple nationally competitive people in a squad, that drives each other on. Because cycling has a tendency of being a very individual sport. And if you're training on your own in the depths of winter, it can be quite difficult to spur yourself on. But if you've got a competitive team around you, that can make a big difference. And then you get this conveyor belt of talented world-class athletes coming through.
So I'm wondering, Dave, when you were cycling between lectures in normal times, if you're a member of the University Cycle Club, is it like a point of honour that you have to be the first person to leave the bike shed and the first person to get to the next lecture?
So what I can say is that in between lectures, things do get very competitive with people stravering their rides from one lecture to the next.
Really? Seriously? People Strava?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
On their town bikes will just be going absolutely, you know, gung-ho to try and get to their next lecture hall so they can try and pick up some KOMs.
Now, we must point out to those non-cyclists who may be listening, of course, Strava is basically, it's an app you can use, and you can record your various rides between any point, and then someone else will look at that and they will try to beat you. And I don't suppose though many people get to beat you, Dave, do they? Because I imagine you're quite handy on a bicycle.
I mean, the kind of running joke on the team is that, oh, Dave's got so much firepower, Dave puts out all these watts. But my drawback is that I'm about as aerodynamic as a cement mixer. So I don't actually go as fast as I'd like to. But I try my best.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it? And you're a mathematician, so you must know that.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
And my guest on a bicycle today is Dave Bell, who is a member of the University of Cambridge, currently studying for a PhD. Not only that, he's a very accomplished rower and has rowed at the highest level, and he's also a very keen sporting cyclist as well. So, Dave, if you're ready, it's now time to play...
Spin That Wheel.
So it's quite easy, basically. It's 3 minutes of questions, which I shall fire at you about your everyday cycling habits. And I mean, you're very competitive. You think you're up for this?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so what we're going to do, without further hesitation...
Let's play Spin That Wheel.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Spin That Wheel.
David Bell, what's your earliest memory of cycling?
Oh, trying to pull a U-turn on my neighbour's driveway when I was about five and falling off and crying.
Oh, that's quite a sweet one, isn't it? Hope you didn't damage your bicycle. What type of cycling do you enjoy most?
Zwifting indoors where it's dry.
Yeah, that is weird. That's the rower, isn't it, coming out in you, I suspect. All those hours of sweating it along by the cam there in the University of Cambridge boathouse. And how often do you get to cycle?
Every single day. So normally I'll have one organised training session per day, and we'll normally kind of go for a cycle to and from the shops just to get some fresh air.
What sort of bicycles or bicycle do you currently pedal? And of those, which one is your favourite?
My favourite is my giant Trinity time trial bike. That thing is—it's an absolute missile to be on.
And do you have a sort of get around Cambridge traditional bike?
I had a fantastic single speed town bike until somebody jumped the fence at my college with a pair of clippers and helped themselves.
Outrageous, isn't it? Now, what's your preferred way of carrying stuff on your bicycle? Because I would imagine with all the bits you do, you have quite a lot of gear to lug around between various points in Cambridge. Is it a basket, saddlebag, pannier, rucksack, or something else?
Oh, definitely a backpack. A basket would probably be better for my spine, but it's just not aerodynamic enough.
And what would be the perfect dream cycle ride for you? Whereabouts in the world and with whom?
Oh, preferably someone with a fantastic cross-sectional area. I'd love to.
Crikey, is that legal? Cross-sectional area?
It's someone to sit behind.
So oh, I see. You're a mathematician. Sorry.
Let them take all the draft. we had some fantastic training rides on our cycling camp in Alicante recently. So yeah, just some of the fantastic mountains, but had some great cafes at the top. They're my dream rides.
This is a question just for you. We've never asked this to anyone before, but I'm going to ask it. What's the highest power of watts you've put out in a training session?
I think the highest I've ever seen was 2,100.
God, that's very high, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening. And do you prefer cycling solo or in the company of other cyclists?
In the company of other cyclists, provided there's a good cafe stop coming.
Yeah, well said. And do you have a cycling hero?
Ooh, you know, I don't think I do.
And what's the one improvement do you think would encourage... Oh!
Spin That Wheel.
I'm going to ask you this question anyway. Well done, by the way. You got all those questions right, as always. And you knew the answers before I did anyway, when you think about it. Dave, what's the one improvement you think would encourage more people to enjoy cycling here in Cambridge?
Less taxis parking in bike lanes.
David Bell, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time. I know times are busy for you, so take care and safe cycling.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Special thank you there to Dave Bell. Such an interesting guest to have. Fancy that, being competent at an elite level at two sports. Now we're moving on. We're going to be talking Flower Power, because my guest joining us now on Behind the Bike Shed has literally got onto her bicycle to launch her new business, the Flower Project. And so it's a big welcome to Claire Cook. Claire, hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Anytime. Tell us about your business.
So the Flower Project started in February, and it's a business that cycle delivers bouquets and plants around Cambridge.
Did you set your business up with the bicycle as the central part of your business, along with the flora side of the business?
Well, I've always really been into commuting, cycling all the time. Even when I didn't live in Cambridge, I used to live in Hereford. I used to always cycle to work and stuff. So I've always been really interested in cycling and the convenience of it. So that kind of just went hand in hand when I decided to set up a business in Cambridge.
And what sort of bicycle do you use for your business?
I have an old Pashley bike that was an old postman's bike. So it's got a really big basket on the front.
And I guess it's not an electric bike, is it?
No,
I'm guessing
it's quite a heavy bike.
Yeah, but I'm guessing the average bouquet isn't heavy, is it, in comparison to some goods we see carried around?
No, they're very light. And we don't, the way we package our bouquets are very easy to transport as well. So when the orders come in, we do everything online. And I have a little workshop in the back of my garden. So I do everything from there. And then, yeah, it all goes from here.
What were you doing before you came a florist?
Before I came a florist, I was training to be a lawyer, which is quite random. But I decided that I didn't actually want to do that. So I wanted to do something more creative, and I did my own flowers for my own wedding, and then it kind of just blossomed from there.
It's quite interesting, because you obviously set your business up before COVID-19 came on the scene and it's caused all this disruption. But in a way, you're ahead of the crowd, because there's a lot of people now who are looking at the jobs they were doing and they're wanting a better lifestyle. Is quality of life a motivator for you?
Definitely. I think you got to love what you do and enjoy it, and especially if it's your own business, you end up living and breathing it every single day. So if you didn't enjoy it, it would be horrible. So yeah.
Now you did start your training as a lawyer, so I suspect at the beginning you actually had a business plan for your business, for the Flower Project.
I did, yeah.
And was the bicycle a main purchase?
Yeah, the bicycle has always been, it was always part of the main plan. I love cycling generally, and I think cycling around Cambridge is pretty enjoyable, and I love learning about the different streets and the areas in Cambridge, and you almost kind of slow down when you cycle. You can put music in your ears and it kind of gives you time to think, so I'm lucky in that sense. So we go from CB1 to CB5, and then we also do Histon, Milton and Water Beach. So I think the furthest away from where we are is about 7 miles.
Oh, is it?
I think.
Now, it's nice this time of year.
Yeah.
Are you going to stick to your bicycle come the winter?
Yes, I think so. We haven't gone through it yet, but like I said, I was a commuter cyclist, I guess, before, so I know how horrible it is in the winter, but yes, the plan is yes.
So now our guest today for the end of today's program is Claire Cook. She's a florist in Milton. She runs the Flower Project, and she the bit I haven't mentioned, I guess, which is key to your business, is they're wildflowers, aren't they? Native flowers.
Yeah, so we try to use British flowers as much as possible. The British flower season runs from about March and finishes around October. So it won't be possible to do it for the whole year, but I try to use local flower growers. I'm a champion British flowers as much as possible.
So, I mean, we end of June, beginning of July. What sort of flowers would we be looking for if we're cycling out and about in the roads of Cambridgeshire this time of year?
You can get delphiniums, cornflowers, lupins, ami. Roses are just starting to come through. You can get some roses. It's kind of, you're still, like poppies and things are all coming through as well. You're still kind of, the best thing about floristry is that every few weeks it changes or something new will come along. And it's just such a great creative thing to use because you're always changing.
And I guess you have to bear that in mind, don't you? Someone comes to you and they're talking about an event happening sort of 3 or 4 months or further down the line. You have to sort of guess, don't you, as a florist, what's going to be available?
You do. And some flowers, you know, are very, very short season. So, like, for example, peonies are literally a few weeks and people love peonies. it's very difficult if someone comes for a wedding and they really want a certain flower. They can't always necessarily get it, depending on when they're getting married.
So why do you think flowers are, as you just mentioned there, didn't you, about peonies? And isn't it the thing about flowers is that the less time a flower is in bloom, the more we seem to love it?
Yeah, I think it's because you don't see it enough.
And when you're cycling out and about, is there any one flower in Cambridgeshire which stands out among the other flowers?
I think that most people would know what a poppy was. And I think they're so beautiful and red. I love spotting poppies and they seem to pop up everywhere as well. And I just love going along. And there's also quite a lot of little wildflower meadows that seem to have popped up this year in different areas. So that's really nice to go and see them.
And also I've noticed councils are now letting verges grow, aren't they? So there's some wonderful, yeah. If you cycle on Barnwell Road at the moment, it just looks gorgeous. Now, the Bax King's College Chapel is getting loads of publicity at the moment, but I actually think the City Council's strip they've left along Barnwell Road is just as impressive. But because of where it is, it doesn't get the sort of national coverage, does it?
No.
Or global coverage on it. But that's often the way, isn't it? And of course, the beautiful thing about wildflowers is they do bring, you can have a really grubby area, a man-made grubby area, and then you have flowers pushing through. And it sort of brightens the heart, doesn't it, for...
It does.
Are you glad you set your business up?
Yes, 100%, definitely.
And despite COVID-19 times, is it going well for you?
It is, yeah. I mean, people during COVID-19, because I did it online and I wasn't a shop, it meant that I could pretty much... I stayed open pretty much the whole time and people wanted to send messages of their thinking of each other and thank yous, and it's been amazing actually the amount of support we've had and people wanting to support local businesses as well.
Claire, we have run out of time. In fact, can you believe it? The finishing line is, as always, fast approaching. Claire, very quickly, what's the name of your website? How can people find more out about you, please?
Yeah, so my website is www.theflowerproject.uk. Or you can find me on Instagram at The Flower Project Cambridge.
Thank you, Claire. And thanks to all my guests today. That's Councillor Chris van der Waal and Graham Cohn, Claire Cook, and our guest on a bike, of course, Dave Bell. If you'd like to contact the programme, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at bikeshed@cambridge105.co.uk. Alternatively, you can find the show on Facebook at Behind the Bike Shed on Cambridge 105 Radio. If you're on Instagram or Twitter, you can find me there, Phil Minot. Well, next week we'll be here soon, and alongside all the latest cycling news, we have another guest playing Spin Mat Wheel, and we'll also have news of a special we've recorded for you. Just recorded that for you this morning. You've been listening to Behind the Bike Shed. It's a Barking Hound production for Cambridge 105 Radio. The voice of Spin Mat Wheel was Tony Barnfield. I'm Phil Minot, and until next time, safe cycling.
Behind the Bike Shed on Cambridge 105 Radio.